Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I'm Robbie Knox, and I'm the landlord of the Moon Underwater, a mystical place where guests create their dream pub. Hello and welcome back to the Moon Underwater. We're here with Ben Bailey-Smith designing his dream pub. How's it going so far, do you think, Ben? Proud of it?
Yeah, I don't know that I've designed much, to be honest.
You designed some bottles and
I just got lost on the way to and back from the gents.
Yeah.
So that needs improving in the Moon Underwater. But at the same time, I do that all the time. I never pay attention. If someone's showing me in somewhere, I never pay attention. Mm. I just follow them.
Yeah.
So when I don't have them, I go the wrong way immediately. Sense direction in that respect is terrible. The worst, I think, was when I was doing a voiceover for a CBBC show. Brilliant show, actually. You know, Spencer Jones? Hilarious. Man. He was one of the creators. It was this sort of anarchic puppet show called Big Babies. And I was doing some voiceover in the old BBC, which is just like, you know, corridors and corridors, circular corridors with studio. And I went out to take a wee when I got back. When I left the toilet, I just looked at the halls and I was like, no idea. Yeah,
and trapped.
Like, it was immediate panic because I knew my phone was in the studio.
Yeah.
So I was just wondering. I was just wandering around for about, it was long. Like, I'd say 11 or 12 minutes.
Wow.
Plus. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
To the point where, like, someone came up to me and was like, are you Ben? And I was like, God. Yeah. And they're like, right.
I've been sent to rest.
You know when they find, like, an elderly person who's gone?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Just put his arm
and just in a nightie and the little slippers. Are you all right, love?
Just put his arm on, like your, hand on your upper arm.
Yeah, I think there was like a silver sort of cloak thing they put onto me. Gave me a Mars bar.
Dan, it's time to do the answers of your pub quiz.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Go for it.
So I'm going to repeat the questions. Mm. We're doing doctors in music.
Yeah.
Question one. Which doctor is the singer referring to in these song lyrics? Oh, yeah, that man takes care of all of my pains and my ills. His name is...
Blank. So I'm going for... Do I tell you what I'm going for?
Yeah.
You can say it, yeah.
I don't think it's right, but I'm going for Dr. Beat.
Okay.
Dr. Beat.
That's a better guess than mine. I didn't know at all, and just because I find it funny, I was going for Dr. Fox.
Oh.
I'm very much one of the less famous musical doctors.
So
he did have a theme tune that feels like it would have lyrics like that, wouldn't it? Dr. Fox.
I mean, what, if that's right, that'd be wild.
It's not right. It's Dr. Feelgood.
Of course it's Dr. Feelgood.
That makes a lot more sense.
That's really annoying.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I was thinking about the music making me feel better, do you know what I mean? And I should have, if I just kept that word feel in my head.
Yeah. Yeah. Matt, a couple of interesting things about that song. It's one that Aretha wrote. And when Ted White, who was her husband and manager, took it to Jerry Wexler, the producer, and sort of said, you know, she's written this song. And he said he loved it. And he was like, oh, God, it's like such a brilliant thing. It's, you know, in the tradition of blues songs and women demanding sexual satisfaction and stuff. And he was like, yeah, don't say that to Aretha because she doesn't want to think like she writes really sexy songs, which is amazing because it's
a very God-fearing woman.
Yeah, but I mean, it's a very sexy song. I'm not sure what other reading there is.
Yeah, interesting.
But maybe she did have a different reading, I don't know. But the other thing was that she performed in 1971 at the Fillmore in San Francisco. sorry, Fillmore West, and Ray Charles went, and apparently she's like a 9-minute version on the piano, and it was just this incredible version. And Ray Charles said, she does a version of Dr. Feelgood that's 100 times better than the record. She's turned the thing into church. Excuse my French, but I have to say that this bitch is burning down the barn.
What a phrase.
What a phrase.
How do you feel about that?
Yeah. Seems unnecessarily aggressive.
Yeah. I don't know if he meant it aggressively.
No.
You know.
Okay.
I think it's more in a kind of damn bitch.
Yeah.
Still sounds a bit aggressive, though.
But I guess in that way of like just having a bad bitch.
Yeah. Okay. That sounded better.
Like a good bad guy, you know, like a bad good guy. Bad meaning good.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Yeah. There we go.
Okay, second question, which I think was causing some issues. Which Doctor is the band leader of the Electric Mayhem?
Now, this is a straight-out guess. I don't think it's right. Dr. John.
I have no idea.
I can't picture Dr. John having a band called the Electric
Mayhem. I'm just going to pick Dr. Fox again because I still find it funny.
Now, I'm tempted to give you a half mark for Dr. John because this was a bit of a naughty one, actually.
Okay.
It's Dr. Teeth because it's the Muppets band.
Of course, who's based on Dr. John?
It's based on Dr. John. Yeah.
Partial credit.
Yeah.
Partial credit. Partial credit. They'll die with the
teeth. I think I'll give you a half mark for that.
Oh, lovely.
Seems very generous.
Yeah, of course, that's not good.
Yeah, and apparently I haven't watched the new Disney show, which is sort of a sort of docudrama or sort of mockumentary of with following them around. But it's revealed in that Dr. Teeth is actually a real doctor. He worked in his family's dentistry business.
Dentistry?
Yeah, which is a lovely bit of background,
normative,
I think.
Normative determinant.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. Okay, and the third one. Who is André Rommel Young, better known as? Am I saying Rommel? Is it Rommel or Rommel?
I don't know. But I can tell you with some confidence,
yes,
it's Dr. Fox.
It's not, is it?
Yeah.
No. It's Dre. It's got to be Dr. Dre.
It is. Yeah.
Wonderful.
So well done. But by a half mark.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well done, Ben.
I'll take it.
Fair enough.
I'll take it. Good. It's controversial slightly.
But a solid victory, but that's show business.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right, Ben, after that unjust win, you get to pick two spirits for your pub. What's your first choice going to be?
Campari, isn't it? Is it Campari?
Remember the bell?
Yeah, but does that mean I'm wrong about Campari?
No, it means you're right.
Okay.
It means, I think, as we can see shimmering in front of us, the moon underwater is creating a bottle of Campari.
This is quite exciting.
Quite slowly. There are several mini bottles of Campari.
I love the label. I love the idea of an Italian aperitif. It always makes me feel like classier than I am.
Yeah.
And I just love a Negroni is my favorite cocktail.
Yeah,
so
I'm with you.
Campari is like for me the key ingredient. I don't like it when they jazz it up and try and use something else. I'm like, no, it's got to have Campari. Come on.
Wow.
Weirdly, when I was in Jamaica, aforementioned last year, February, I had no idea. It's become huge over there. So like
that was going to be one of my things.
It was like everywhere. Like, you know when you see
Campari
like,
and Ting, right?
Yeah. You know when you see a brand that's like, okay, these guys are big boys because they've got the huge LED billboards, they got the bus stops, they got the TV commercials. That's Campari.
Oh,
in Jamaica,
wow.
I was like, what? I mean, I hadn't been for a while, but I was quite taken aback by that. And every bar would have Campari and various Campari-based cocktails and people just swigging it like straight on the rocks with tonic, with lemonade, with orange.
Right. Can I open this up?
Yeah. And it's, I've read a thing by Riaz Phillips, who's a author of a Jamaican cookbook called West Winds. Mm. And she was saying that how important music is in the social culture of Jamaica, and Campari seen in music videos. And I had no idea. Yeah.
It was like news to me until I was there immersed within it.
Now, crazy. I haven't got Negronis, but if you want, I have got some San Pellegrino if you would like to mix. And I've also attempted to bring some ice.
Oh, yeah. I'll have some ice.
But let's see whether it's made it.
Yeah.
I mean, I've done my best. It might just be a bag of water.
There was one Glastonbury year.
We're all right.
You got cut. Well done.
Heated up through the realms.
Yeah.
There was one Glastonbury year where me and my wife, like, you always do the stop at like the last supermarket, get a few bits. Okay. And we were in the Tesco and she spotted like Campari was on offer for like £6 a bottle.
Oh.
Like the full size Campari. And she was like, I don't know if these are about to go out of date or what, wow. but we've got to get as many.
Yeah.
And it's not, it's still to this day, I wouldn't say it's like a massive drink in the UK.
No.
But back then, I don't know when it was, like 6 or 7 years ago, it was like no one was buying that shit. So maybe, no. maybe they just lowered the price to get rid of the stock. But we bought like 5-6 bottles of it. And we had loads of orange juice in the van. So that Glastonbury, I really remember, we're just walking around with like Coke bottles full of Campari and orange. That's all we drank the whole weekend. I'm not buying a drink at Glastonbury. I'm not queuing up.
I will buy the Brother's cider at Glastonbury because I like a bit of cider there. But I will tend to get the boxes of wine that eventually leads to the humiliation of breaking into the box and squeezing the last bits of the bladder into your mouth.
Got to hide behind a tree to do that.
3 p.m.
Yes. Thank you so much, Campari. Oh, what a treat.
Yeah. It's perfect for a Thursday afternoon.
That's great. Oh, I love it.
I never drink neat Campari. No, it's actually quite pleasant.
It's very, very rare. Yeah, but like very rare. Splash of tonic or a splash of orange is great. But ideally, Negroni is what you want. But yeah, Campari and orange, it's a great drink.
Negronis have come from nowhere to be the most popular cocktail around, haven't they, now?
Which is annoying in a way because it always means that people fuck with it. When something gets big, they start fucking with it. I'm like, there's no need to fuck with it. It's perfect. Yeah. Like if a real Negroni would be, first of all, it'd be in this glass as opposed to your glasses, right?
Yep.
Nice and wide so you can get that huge square brick of ice cube in it. You don't want ice cubes. Plural, traditional ice cubes.
Just a big...
Just waters it down and ruins it.
Yeah.
And you want like the zest and the peel from an orange, not a slice of orange with the fruit. Like that's all wrong.
Yeah.
Maybe a little splash of bitters. And it's a red vermouth Campari in a half decent gin. That's the other. Then they start fucking smoky Negroni or one without the gin. A Negroni without the gin. Yeah. Like a different...
Yeah.
That's not a Negroni.
No.
Just call something it something else.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. No.
Once you've had a couple, you're like, stop fucking with my Negroni.
Yeah, yeah. But like last year, I went to Kendall Calling Festival. We're doing like a live show there, and there was like a Negroni bus, basically. I can't remember if it was like a Campari bus or anything. It was just a bus just doing Negronis. You wouldn't have had that 5 years ago.
No.
It'd have been a gin bus.
I'd quite like that to carry me to the burial ground.
What, like a Viking?
Negroni.
Negroni you lift Viking. Up the coffin, it's all really somber. And then instead of putting it on like the horse and carriage, it's just onto the Negroni bus.
Taking it out.
Everyone just starts dancing. Like,
just dumped in the sea.
Yeah, man.
Fabulous.
Make it a party.
Yeah.
What are your Campari facts, Dan?
Invented in 1860 by Gaspari Campari, which is a
satisfying.
Yeah. What a pathetic name I have in comparison to that.
Ben Smith. Try that on size.
Okay, fair play. So my friend Jack, who I do a different podcast with, his name's Jack Carl Dean. He's got like three first names as a name.
Oh, and all one syllable. That's weird.
It's like the most unimaginative name ever.
Jack Carl Dean.
Mm. Yeah.
Jack Carl Dean. Jack Carl Dean.
Jack Carl Dean.
And his wife Perland.
I'm just going to give you one interesting fact about Campari. In that, and I didn't know that this existed at all. You might know that this existed, but it was originally coloured with carmine dye, which is derived from crushed cochineal insects.
Mm.
Female insects, which live on cactus plants in South America. And you get that in loads of things like candy and ketchup and soft drinks and
natural
stuff.
Natural colorings.
Yeah, yeah. But they've taken that out now.
They've taken out the cruelty.
They don't
less like death.
They don't grind insects into a pestle and
more insects
to get a nice color. Yeah.
That makes me think of My Uncle Oswald. Did you ever read that?
Yeah,
when you
I
were
did. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you know so I read it when I was too young as well.
I was definitely too young. Yeah. And then I read it again when I was older. And I was like, actually, this is not a great Roald Dahl book, but there's great elements.
Mm. What's it called?
My Uncle Oswald. Yeah.
It's
like a found footage movie with a book.
Is it a kid's book? Yeah.
No.
Right. I was going to say, because it's not in my son's collection.
So like, this guy is telling you, I found this diary
right
in the attic of my aunt's place or I can't remember where it is, or his mum's place. And it's his Uncle Oswald, his memoirs. And what he used to do was he found this beetle, or was it a spider somewhere?
So long since I read it, but
in South America or something, and he would do that, he'd crush it.
Yeah.
But he would turn it either into a spoonful or mix it with water or into a tablet, and it would keep your cock hard all night.
It was like this. No, magic,
not in my son's.
So Roald Dahl kind of, and this is an old book, so he kind of invented Viagra before Viagra. Mm. And it becomes this like political tool, like there's presidents who want it and all these powerful men who want it and stuff. So Uncle Oswald becomes this bon vivant who travels the world making people's dicks hard. And it's unbelievably un-PC, but funny in places.
And they start trying to sort of collect sperm, basically, I think, don't they?
It gets,
sell it.
Gets all a bit weird.
It's weird,
isn't it, when you're a kid and you don't know that Roald Dahl did other books that aren't appropriate, and then you find out, you're like, oh, wow,
I found a copy. I don't know if it was my mum's or my dad's, but I found a copy of Kiss Kiss.
Yeah.
It's an amazing book of short stories.
Yeah.
And it was like, if you like this, you might like Switch Bitch. And I was like, Switch Bitch?
Yeah.
Like, Roald Dahl was fucking on one. He's worse than Ray Charles out here. Yeah, Switch Bitch? Roald Dahl up in here. Bitch!
Yeah, that was the one with the wife swapping in it, wasn't it?
All sort of tales of the... Well, he had a Tales of the Unexpected book, didn't he? But like short stories with dark twists. And you can say that like this guy is... When people are like, oh, actually, Roald Dahl wasn't that nice a man. He actually was problematic. And you're like, yeah, no shit. I read My Uncle Oswald and Switch Bitch and Kiss Kiss. I could have told you this shit in the 90s, bro. You know, like, actually, if you think about Roald Dahl, he's actually like, yeah, wow, okay.
Hiding in plain sight.
Thanks for joining in.
I can't remember how we got onto that.
Sorry.
Is that something to do with Campari?
Crushed insects.
Gaspari Campari.
I'm really enjoying drinking.
I'm really enjoying drinking.
I hope he's from Bari. Tell me he's from Bari.
Oh, yeah, I wish he was from Bari.
Is he from Bari?
No,
how good
not.
Would that be?
Does he drive a Ferrari?
Navara.
Does he support Bari?
Yeah. I mean, let's just say yes. Gaspari Campari.
Is it his Carrari or Ferrari?
It's his Carrari or Ferrari.
I'm sorry to all our Italian listeners.
We're just thinking some
more
here.
We make great beverages.
Yeah. Really great beverages. Can't think anymore.
No, I can, but I don't know how to... In the 1990s, was his computer an Atari? Okay, right.
And we're back to Asari. That's fantastic.
We peaked,
circular.
We peaked with... with mustard, didn't we, earlier on?
You had me at mustard.
You had me at mustard.
And Mount Gay was your other.
You know, it's sacrilege to say as a Jamaican. It's a bit controversial to say that your favourite rum is a non-Jamaican rum.
Right.
It's kind of not on. But I would say Ray and Nephew's, but Ray and Nephew, I can't drink it neat. Ray and Nephew for a rum punch all day long. I'm not using a dark Mount Gay for that. Using Ray and Nephew overproof for a rum punch. That's my favorite, no question. But if you're talking about an all-rounder, like a rum you can just, even without ice, just go, oof, appreciate. That's nice. Yeah. You know, Mount Gay's like that. Super smooth, doesn't like cut up your throat or make you cough. Do you know what I mean? It's beautifully made.
Yeah.
Beautifully made.
I love listening or reading about people talking about rum. It always sounds so nice. What the words that get used around rum, I think.
Like, yeah,
it's,
I think
it's smooth and it's golden, honey coloured, and like you're going, oh god.
And of course, you know, sugar is the base here. So as opposed to all the other spirits, there's, you know, bitterness and harshness, or you know, that kind of weird ashiness to it, or metallic, is not part of the issue. It's naturally sweet, so that kind of helps. The only issue is, carrying on drinking rum is not, that's not for me. Because it's just too much sugar. Mm. You know what I mean? After a while, it's just like, it's too much.
Makes so you like sick. Just as a little starter, a little aperitif?
Yeah, like a great rum and coke, always good. Rum and ginger ale, rum and ginger beer. Mm. And like I say, with Mount Gay, especially like the XO, just straight rum, maybe one block of ice or none.
Did you ever go... back in the olden days, to the Brixtonian Havana bar, that was a rum bar in Brixton, and it was
highly
brilliant. I went.
What year are we talking about?
I'm talking roughly. 2001. I don't know. It might still be there. I don't know.
I was. I was definitely going to Brixton in that era, but I don't remember.
It had like, I don't know, hundreds of rums, and I wasn't a big rum drink at the time, and it was. there's a lot of like older Caribbean dudes in there, sort of thing. And the real regulars would buy a full bottle of rum, and every time they came in, they'd just get given their bottle and would just be drinking their rum.
Yeah, little private.
I was never that level. I was just buying the shots. But yeah, it's like that. And then you don't
That's
buy
like
any
proper
bottle.
Grown man shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And now, like, being in my 40s, I look at that and I still think exactly the same thing.
Yeah.
That's some proper grown man shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, just pour me a glass of wine, pour me a bit.
Yeah, I'm never going to get. I could be going there every day forever. Drink. I'm not going to get offered my own bottle of rum. I'm not. No. I'm not that good.
Imagine the day that you did, though.
Yeah. And in America, like in American culture, that. They've created a negative, just a purely negative sort of story around the image of a man with a bottle, right? Because every movie or TV series you've ever seen, if you're supposed to think this guy's sad and troubled, you know what he does at the bar.
Yeah.
He has another one. Hey, Lou, hit me again.
Yeah.
I don't know, Jack. Yeah. You've been hitting it pretty hard. Lou, hit me again. You know what? Leave the bottle.
Yeah.
You know, and then he leaves the bottle and you're like, oh, he's troubled. Yeah. I bet his wife, their marriage is not going too well at the moment.
Yeah.
You know what? I think he might still solve the case.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He might still solve the case.
Just to break my heart when detective.
He doesn't play by the rules, does he?
No. I mean, the rum shacks in Jamaica, and they've got those in Barbados as well, but the little shacks along rural roads.
Yeah.
Where all they've got is Ray and Nephew and Red Stripe. And you best believe the Red Stripe's fucking cold. There's no fridge to be seen. Do you know what I mean? Like those little shacks, just men sat outside just smoking. It's like, come on, man. Yeah. There's no beer garden that's going to be able to compare with this. You sort of got the funny thing with Jamaica is you get out what you put in.
Yeah.
So even though it is kind of scary to go in. Like it's the ultimate like saloon situation. You're not clearly not from here. And I include myself in that. Mm. I am not from there. It's obvious.
Yeah.
Light skin, obviously British. You can tell, you don't have to talk to me as a Jamaican to know that I'm not a native born Jamaican. Not if I walk in with the right energy, like what's going on? Like how are we doing? Do you know what I mean? You know, bit of eye contact for everyone, bit of confidence in your order, you're fine.
Yeah.
You're fine. It's when you're sort of like, I'm in a...
That's you know,
it's
like,
a lesson for any pub, isn't
it? I wonder if they might be... I don't know. Or just stood there looking at for a bit. Should I check my phone? Yeah. Like, do the Google reviews? Yeah. Any reviews? You know what I mean? It's the wrong energy.
You can do most things if you approach it with confidence, can't you?
Just get in there.
Go on. No, I was just going to say, so should you have maybe a rum shack in your pub or maybe out in the... A garden, a rum shack.
That's a really interesting question because when it comes to pubs, I'm loath to sort of think too far outside the box. I know that sounds boring, but I often get like a little bit irritated by things that are like, it feels like they've crowbarred that in, tacked it on.
Yeah. Mm.
You know, and it's sort of somehow it takes away from the pub experience that's in my head.
Okay.
Which is very traditional, nostalgic, maybe a little bit boring, but very comforting.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So like when there's too many things that feel like a bit novelty, it throws me. I do like the thing of like a pub, it's not quite a gastro pub, but they've just got this new guy, he's in, he cooks amazing Thai food. Like,
yeah.
You can get it. Like today you can't get it. Maybe tomorrow you can get it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Ones that they've just got fucking incredible sausage rolls and scotch eggs.
Mm.
Sometimes they got them, sometimes they haven't. Mm. I love
the
that.
Bar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, do you remember Coach and Horses in Soho like 20 years ago, 25 years ago? Like they had a little fridge and you could get a crusty roll for a pound.
Right.
And it'd be cheese and onion, cheese and ham.
Yeah.
Sometimes they'd be there, sometimes they wouldn't. But they just offset that pint perfectly. Mm, and the cheese and onion was like a slab of cheese, you know what I mean? Centre and metre and a half thick.
Yeah.
And then like, it's like half an onion, basically. Do you know what I mean? The thickest an onion could be if you lopped off the round ends to be a disc.
So we're going to have that in your
two
pub?
In a crusty roll.
We bring a fridge of
Actually,
rolls.
You know what? Yeah, fuck it, let's do it.
Let's do it, chuck it in.
Crusty rolls.
Oh, yeah.
Wonderful.
Yeah,
okay.
Let's do it.
Talking of things to put in the pub, every week Dan's speaking to a listener where they will suggest...
You don't speak to them, do you?
I don't like to. You're
mix of the normals.
Yeah, Dan
Dan's
is
a man of the people, as we've
established. Well, he's in the 1%, but he does like to look down on people, so he will talk to them to see how much better he's got than them. So after he's made himself feel good, he will ask them if they've got a suggestion for a guest pub.
Yep.
And who have you been talking to this week, Dan?
Yeah, I've been speaking to Tom this week.
Hey, this is Tom. And my suggestion for Ben's pub is chameleon bar stools that change colour depending on the mood of the person. I think this would stop any issues going on in the pub, but we could also have one at the front door that everyone has to sit on before they come in and we can turn people away for being in a bad mood.
So a mood-sensing bar stool.
I think that's one of my favourite ones.
I think that's really interesting.
I mean, I'm guessing it operates through temperature, which would make the sort of entry stall a bit problematic because it might read you wrong because it's freezing outside. Actually, I'm not cold-spirited and frigid. No, it's just really cold outside.
Yeah.
And I'm not super angry. It's just really hot. I'm you know, I'm overheating.
I think we're assuming that Tom, was it? Tom has ironed out the technology.
Okay,
here.
So the technology's sorted. So in that case, I would find it a tiny bit invasive, like walking in, someone saying, we need to check your mood first. I'd be like, do you want my fucking money or not?
Because
the moon underwater is across the road, you know. But the idea of, like, once you're into, you know, you've settled in, you're on a second pint or whatever, that your seat will turn a colour where someone will go, actually, you know what, I'm not going to approach him.
Yeah.
It's a good time.
Yeah. And if there's a TV...
That can be quite handy.
Yeah. If there's a TV in football, you'll see an entire group of people who are supporting one team, just their seats change colour.
Yeah, that's
quite a nice little light show.
At the same time. Yeah.
Also, I think it can be quite fun when one person's in a bad mood and everyone else isn't.
Mm.
Like, I quite, do you know what I mean?
You'd enjoy something like that, I think.
I think I would.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, well, I was thinking about this actually earlier today, is that when on the other podcast, Do Happy Hour, when we went on tour last year, there's Alfie, who's one of the four of us on the show, is really young. He's really good at playing FIFA.
Right. You know,
and he just started losing to someone who's not as good. And he lost like 10-0 and he was getting so angry. And we were all just, every goal that went in, we were just laughing. Magical. And the best moment of the whole tour and everything was when I just laughed at something. And he said, he's in his 20s and he just went, Robbie, you're 46. I was like, brilliant. You've lost it so much. You just randomly say my age.
That's amazing.
And it was like fueled. I was like, this is incredible.
That's amazing.
And so sometimes it's quite nice to have someone in a bad mood when you're not.
Well, that example is a fantastic example.
Thank you.
Because to reach for that, like the lowest common denominator to try and annoy someone out of their reverie at your, you know, perceived misfortune is just fantastic. And the beauty of him citing the age as well, because being 46, we don't have to even say that it's because you're so fucking young that this is important. Right? That's the difference between me and you, my friend. That shit is, it doesn't even brush the surface of my emotions.
Yeah.
That's how beautiful this is.
Yeah.
You know?
So
that's great. What a great example.
So what do you think? Do you think the stool is getting in?
I like the stools for the customers already in. I don't like the stool at the entrance.
Okay.
So can we compromise?
A refined version of that. So the stools as a nice sort of aside to see how people are getting on.
I don't like anything at an entrance. If I'm going into a clothes shop, I don't want to be greeted as I'm walking in. I'm not ready. Let me go in and test your wares and then maybe there can be a chat later. It's just the Brit in me. I don't want a confrontation when I've just made the decision. I'm going to this thing. Mm. Just let me go in and then we'll talk.
I went to a pub yesterday on Ladbroke Grove and they had quite a large bouncer. And it was 6 PM, so after, exactly what you were talking about, after work pint. And I did what I always do on those sorts of occasions where I sort of walk in, I look up at them and smile and expect to be told to go away. And I just go, hello. And then they just look at me and maybe nod. And then I go, okay, now I'm in.
Because
you don't want to go, can I come in?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'm just awful at it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think an acknowledgement like that is nice.
Yeah, yeah.
I think deep down they appreciate it, but they've always got to look cool. And
yeah,
like
they can't smile back.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So the little nod is all you're going to get. Yeah, and you just got to be happy with that.
Yeah. Yeah. Fair enough.
Yeah, it's one of those funny jobs around pubs. It's like also that you don't really see it. Well, maybe it's the place I go now, but when you used to get someone in the toilets with lots of aftershaves and stuff. Yeah. I remember going to
one. More of a nightclub thing.
Yeah, I remember being in, I think, Notting Hill Arts Club. And I went in there, again, this would have been about 2000, and chatting to the guy in the toilet. And then later on the night, I went back in, chatting to him. They're going, are you having a good night? He went, no. I went, I went, oh, why not? And he just went, and he said,
why the fuck do you think, mate?
I said, why not? He goes, I work in a toilet. I was like, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, no. Sorry, mate. I didn't hear. Have a pound. No. I was like, well, I mean, yeah, you're obviously you are. No, I didn't, but I didn't.
Oh, I didn't
think of that.
Oh, like, oh God.
Pretend. That's awkward.
Yeah. Anyway, if you've got an idea for something that could go into a future pub, you can email me, robbie@moonunderpod.com with your vision, and we will put it to a future guest. Mm. Ben, you are, of course, a musician yourself. There's a lot of pressure here. Mm-hmm. Pub jukebox. You can put one CD or mini disc into the pub jukebox. What's it going to be? Musicians always find this hard.
That's so tough. I think, less in terms of being a musician, more in terms of being a DJ. Like, I feel very responsible for people's music consumption, right? And I would hate that thing of like having something on and seeing people go, why the fuck is turn this down? Yeah. I can't hear myself think.
Yeah.
I'm trying to work on my laptop.
Yeah.
You know, I think if it was just to please me, it would probably be Walk Under Ladders, Joe Nama Trading.
Right.
I think it should be just to please you.
In that case, that's what it'd be. If I was pleasing, if I was trying to please myself and others, I'd probably go Park Life because it feels like boozy. You've got a dance song for if it turns into dance, girls and boys, straight up dance. You've got Park Life, it feels like, hey, go. And then you've got like, you know, sort of more emotional, like wrap your arms around each other, end of the century. Just say, oh, etc. And it's great for, you know, up in your Mockney states.
Yeah,
which a lot of people in a London pub after a few drinks that will become more Mockney.
Yeah. I listened to Part so Life.
Blur would sort them out.
I listened to Part Life from start to finish recently, which I haven't done for a while. Mm. And there are songs on it that sound like a joke version of Blur. Like definitely. Tracy Jack sounds like
Tracy Jack,
but the lyrics,
yeah, you can
civil service. Although it sounds like someone taking the piss out of Blur, but
totally.
But at the time, I remember lapping it up. I
said, "Imagine
still
a
good
Chris
song.
Morris sketch or something like that, where it's trying to be like David."
So, Part Life.
Oh yeah, or Walk Under Ladders.
If it's just for me, I should go with Walk Under Ladders because it does. It does the same thing. It's got amazing ballads. It's got big rock and pop numbers.
Okay.
It's got soul, it's got funk, it's got rock. So I'd like to think it's got something for everyone, but it's definitely got everything for me.
Is there a song on it that sounds like a piss take version of Blur?
Yeah, maybe the title track. Yeah. I'm lucky. I can walk under ladders. I could picture Dave. I'm lucky. I'll change it to be lucky. I can walk under ladders. Hey.
Right. My first post-divorce pint, the gin I had in Hull, my nan's homemade buckfast, the rum I drank with Liz Hurley, the lager I stole from the pigeon detectives. Right, Ben, it's time now for a drink in time where the Moon Underwater will transport you back through the very fabric of time to relive a drink from your past.
Wow.
So it's an occasion of the past that you'd like to just go back to that had alcohol around there or drink in general.
Yeah. I mean, sadly, so many of them do. maybe I could turn it back on you and give you a choice because there's one that comes to mind that's very powerful in my head that's really old, so like formative, that involves the Beastie Boys. And then there's one that's much more recent that's similarly seismic in my life that involves the Queen and a little bit of Rod Stewart. So you take the pick between the two. Or I could tell you both, but then we'll be here for a while. Actually, the Beastie Boys one is short.
So. I saw your performance, which was amazing. Yeah. The Queen, which I'm guessing must be the same night.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which is correct.
Why don't you go on first? So I definitely would 100% want to hear the Beastie Boys.
Platinum Jubilee, Hyde Park, or Beastie Boys, Brixton Academy.
Why don't you tell us both?
1995. Spring, I'm going to say. Beastie Boys released Ill Communication the year before. It was huge, massive in the UK.
Yeah.
I loved it. Sabotage was the number one like mosh out tune. So me and the mates, we'd gone to Brixton to see them. Very excited, very young. Armed with our usual, which is like, you know, bag of cheap weed or hash. And K-Siders. The K-Cider, the black bottle with the red K.
Yep.
one of the worst drinks I think ever invented.
So strong.
Very strong. Why are children drinking? I would say, why are children drinking it? That's what people would have said in 1995.
Yeah.
So we're drinking that. Now me, with, even to this day, like, you're drinking with a high alcohol content and then smoke a spliff, I'm gone. Like, that's me, I'm done. Like, one or the other, like, we're smoking spliff, fine, you know. But, like, I'm drinking heavily and then passing a spliff. It doesn't matter if I'm 46 or 16, I'm whitey-ing. And that's exactly what happened in the middle of the show. I just whitey'd, like, and again, you're jumping up and down, there's all this testosterone, so, and it's hot. These are all perfect things to make you whitey. So I sort of came to, and I was being dragged out and hearing that, what's he taken? What's he done?
Really?
I'm taken anyway. Like in and out of consciousness. And then I sort of fully came to, and I was sat on like a St. John's ambulance, like a gurney thing in a tiny room. And there was this guy who looked about 80 years old, gentle old man in the green. And he was like, oh, don't rush yourself up. Take your time. Here, have a drink of water. He was like lovely, really sweet and gentle. And I was just like, I could hear the jung jung, jung jung. And I was like, get the fuck out of my way, old man.
Yeah.
I really feel bad. I should have been like, oh, thank you so much. I was just like, it's fucking sabotage.
Yeah.
Okay, I just ran it. And it, like, it's not the best story in the world, but what made it special was that that summer we went to visit an uncle who lived in the Bronx, Pelham Parkway, in New York. And some friends of my mum's who lived in the, oh my God, what's the place where the CIA are, FBI, begins with a V, Virginia.
Yeah,
Thank you. Jeez, my brain. So my first experience in New York was via the train.
Yeah.
As most people fly in, but I walked up the steps at Central, what's it called?
Station.
The main station. I can't remember. You know the one, famous one.
Grand Central.
Off the train, and so I stepped out, saw all the buildings, it was amazing. And I'd torn this page out of a music magazine that was like the top 20 record shops you have to visit if you ever go to New York. And I'd had it for a few years. Yeah. You know what I mean? I'm like 16, 17 now, and I'd had it for a few years. And it's the middle of summer, so it's hot. I'm wearing t-shirt and shorts, Vans, you know, sneakers, look a bit like the old Pumas, fat laces. My hair is short and I've dyed it blonde, like to be look like Mike D. You know, I've got the knapsack and everything. And I've got my list. And I'm looking at the map as well. And I say, oh, we're really close to the village. I've always wanted to see what, like, Greenwich Village. We could walk there. Do you know what I mean? I want to walk. I don't want to get a cab. My mum was like, all right. So we walked there. Took us about 20 minutes. Turned onto a side road to go into Greenwich Village. And I bumped into, physically, MCA.
Whoa.
Like, how mad is that? Like, less than like maybe 2 months, 3 months after the show.
Wow. So
this is like May to like, I don't know, end of July, whenever school was out, end of July, early August.
That's mad.
Do you talk to him?
Fuck yeah. I was like, dude, I just saw you in concert. Like, I'm basically in cosplay as Mike D. And my brother was like, Mom, give me a camera, give me a camera. Because obviously it's before smartphones and whatnot. So he gets to the Kodak and my brother took a photo. And honestly, is that photo is like pride of place, especially since we lost him. It's so special to have that moment. Mm. It's a hilarious photo as well. If you look on my Instagram, scroll down a bit, you probably see it there because I'm just staring at him. He's facing the camera and I'm just staring at him like,
oh, that's amazing.
MCA from Beastie Boys.
That's such a great band. I saw him at Brixton, but years later, it would have been like probably not a long time before he died, but yeah, it was a brilliant band.
And the way he was as well, like, so many people would be like, I'm you want to do a photo? Yeah, cool, okay, great meeting your kid. He was like, oh, cool. He was like, cool,
he was
take the
photo. Were you the one that got carried out?
I was like, what's going on? Like, what's happening? And he was like, oh, I've got to go home and pick up my stuff because I'm going snowboarding. He's like, you ever been snowboarding? It's like the most amazing thing. I mean, you obviously got to go far in the summer to find snow and blah, blah, blah. He's telling me this shit.
Oh,
I'm like,
MCA, you're talking to me. You're talking, saying words to me. Saying the words. That's talking fabulous. To me about things.
And that's brilliant. And the Queen one, we'll decide which one we're going to let you, we're going to pick.
Yeah, sure. So I'd written this song, sort of a spoken word rap type. It's like a poem, but with an orchestral piece of music that actually was composed by Andy Burrows of Razorlight. So I had like flipping like don't know, it's a BBC Philharmonic. So what's that, 90-piece orchestra or something? Incredible. Obviously rehearsed it, practiced it for ages. But on the day, I realized there was lots of different stages, right? So I was under the statue on Pall Mall, like out front of Buckingham Palace, but I was on my own. I imagined I'd be with the orchestra. They were on another stage, like down by the entrance to Buckingham Palace, you know? So we were connected, you know, through the headset. I mean, you could hear them, but in terms of timing with the echoes and everything, you need it through the in-ear monitors to be on time and you know, in tune and all of that. And they just fucked my in-ear. So like, I just couldn't hear anything. So I had no idea when to start going into the rhythmic part of this poem, the sort of sung bit of the poem. Utter fear. Like, you got one shot at this. Utter fear. I had no idea where I was in the song. So I just screamed my way through it.
Wow.
And I was absolutely apoplectic afterwards.
Wow.
Livid. Yeah. Like, I would have killed a sound man. Like, I would have just punched the sound man in the face. It was the biggest moment of my life, and I just felt it was ruined.
Your colour-changing bar stool is going to be very, very red, isn't it?
I was just furious, and I just wouldn't speak to anyone. Leave me the fuck alone. And I didn't have a dressing room because I was the only person on that bill I've never heard of. I mean, they had Hans Zimmer, Diana fucking Ross. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. I was in between Rod Stewart and Diana Ross.
Yeah.
I'd never heard of me in comparison, you know. So I didn't have a dressing room. So I just had this plastic fold-out chair, and I sat outside the big green room thing, and I just sat there, livid, just fuming myself. It took me ages to sort of like come to grips with it. And then the two things sort of cheered me up. They brought me back out of that anger. I looked up and Rod Stewart came out of this porter cabin. You know, these things are built on Hyde Park in between the trees. He comes out and I see he's got three or four guys all his age sat around smoking, drinking. And he's got like half a bottle of red wine and he's chats to the boys. Then he pokes his head round the side of the port cabin and goes back into the, I was just like, oh, fuck, it's Rod Stewart, wow. And then a few minutes later, he comes out again, pokes his head round. And then he turns to the boys and goes, come on, fuckers, we're leaving, like that. Pours himself out the rest of the red wine, downs it, right? And I see what he's looking at. This stretched white Rolls Royce comes up into Hyde, like imagine driving through Hyde Park, drives into Hyde Park, like we're in between the trees here, we're in the grass.
Wow.
They're all scrambling around, getting like golf buggies and shit and ordering Ubers, and he just gets in the back of this like cream leather interior, so just, onwards like that, and cruised out through the park. And I was like, fuck, that's gangster.
Yeah.
That's so gangster. And that was the thing that stopped making me think about the performance. And then the next thing was this guy goes, you could use a beer. And it was Stephen Fry. And I was like, I really could. And there was the little stubby cans of Camden Hells. And me and him pounded like three of them. Sat on a plastic chair outside the green room. Me and Stephen Fry pounded. And then like someone came up and was like, oh, we got to go in for the reception now at Buckingham Palace. The royals thank everybody for performing. And Fry's just like, down's the third one. And he's just like, well, I suppose we should shuffle on. Shall we? Like that. I was like, this is fucking so surreal, man.
That's amazing.
And I met with my wife and the three of us just walked through the gates of Buckingham Palace and up into the palace. Next thing you know, I was like drinking champagne with Prince William. He was like, you know, at university, I used to listen to Nas and Biggie Smalls. I was like, what is happening right now? So weird. It was so weird.
Oh,
that's amazing,
story.
That story.
Those are unforgettable drinks, those two, the K cider and that Camden Hells from Stephen Fry.
I think the Camden Hells of Stephen Fry's got to win that.
I mean, I thought nothing's going to beat the first one. I don't know. I mean, it's amazing, that story, because I'm not just saying this because you're here. This is the absolute truth. After that performance, for the next few days, and I work in TV and sort of around comedy and stuff, everyone was saying, did you see Ben Paddy Smith on and that was like, did you know he was going to be on? That was amazing. All anyone said was how amazing it was.
Yeah, it's
I had
mad.
No idea that like actually you were there going, this is the worst thing
ever.
So angry.
And it's because of the perfectionist in me. I knew exactly how it was supposed to sound, what was supposed to happen, you know, and it didn't happen. And it made me furious because of how much energy, emotion and time we put into it.
Yeah.
It was a huge moment. We all knew then that was going to be the last event really around the Queen. She was, you know, at that stage in her life. And, you know, I'm no royalist, but the Queen is like, if you're British of a certain age, it's just part of your life.
Mm. Yeah.
So it feels very distinctly like pre and post Queen, like where we're in now. Like with her gone, I could give a fuck about any of them.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It just goes to show you like what a big part of people's lives she was, even if you didn't think she was.
Yeah.
She was. And it was important on all those levels, you know?
Yeah,
and yeah, just everything about that night felt unique and special and weird and one off. Yeah. Why was I there? Why the fuck was I? Look at that line. Go back and look at that lineup. Every single name is a household name, maybe for decades.
Yeah.
Why was I there? It's so weird.
Just go with it.
It was meant to happen for some reason.
Yeah. Amazing. That's that's a terrific answer. A terrific drink in time. It's time now to find out our guest dream pub companion, but that is only for those of you who are investors in the Moon Underwater Patreon. If you want to find out how, you can subscribe at moonunderpod.com. For the rest of you, we'll be back after this ad break.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
You are barred.
We're about to discuss what we would like to bar from the pub. We've discussed what you want in the pub,
okay.
What is not allowed.
Hot nuts sort of machine thing. I think that's fine. And like I say, I quite like a little thing with the crusty rolls in it. I don't want the tall jars of nuts. I just think it's a I just want a packet of Big D's or KP's.
Yeah.
But now I've got to buy a fucking bowl of nuts for like £4.50.
Yeah.
It's nuts.
Yeah.
Want any of that. That's barred.
I'm never drawn to them.
No, I just think, a packet of nuts, fine.
I don't want to. If people just been digging their hands in them.
I'm not involved.
I don't want to
go into a pub and say, have you got any crisps? They say, no, but we've got a massive tub of wasabi peas.
And it's always those guys, right? Yeah. They don't even have the crisps option because they're trying to force this bowl of expensive nuts down your throat. I'm not having it. That is barred. The single sheet access to toilet paper, also barred. For my friends who like to shit in pubs.
Mm.
Yeah. I personally would I'd never shit that. In a pub ever, right?
Yeah.
But I don't shit anywhere other than my house, bro. Like, that's just me.
What if you go on holiday?
Oh, yeah, obviously. But I've got to get used to the hotel, so I might not shit on holiday for 3 days.
Okay.
Yeah. I once did Glastonbury, didn't shit for 5 days, bro. That's great.
That's the dream, though.
5 days.
I did.
Mind over matter.
When I was a scout, when I was a scout, I think I managed 6 days, but it was hard. It hurt.
Oh,
And then I had to. And then we went to a leisure centre and I went there on camp.
Yeah, fair. I guess what I'm saying about my pub is that I assume, not being a pub shitter, that every shit that's being taken in a pub is an emergency, right?
Yeah, it's got to be.
So I ban two receptacles. The one that's like the little rubberized anus with the big wheel,
that's
and you
bad.
Put.
Yeah.
You're desperate and you can only get one sheet out. And then the one that like is more like a napkin dispenser in an American deli, but like on the wall upside down. So you pull one out at a time.
Mm. That's better.
It's better because sometimes you could dig in and pull out a chunk.
Yeah.
But both of them feel like an insult to the man or woman who is so desperate for a shit they have to do it in my pub. For those people, I'm saying, I got you. Okay, I got your back. I'm not one of these maniacs who feels like in an emergency situation like that, you've got to have like one small square of cheap paper.
Yeah.
Let's be fair, thin, at a time.
Thin.
Do you remember? We won't name the person's name.
Oh, yeah. I know what you're going to say.
Have we mentioned this on here?
I don't know.
When a friend of ours closed a pub.
In London Bridge, wasn't it?
Yeah. We won't mention the friend's name.
Yeah. He stunk out the place so bad.
No, right. No. I'll tell you. We went out on an evening that became known as Mental Wednesday. It was an unexpected... We went for a drink, but it escalated.
We were just about to go home.
Was it Mental Wednesday 2?
No, it was...
It was Mental Wednesday 1.
I think Mental
it was
Wednesday 2.
That was a good night too.
Yeah.
But we went to a pub. It was a pub. Good. It was a pub in London Bridge, and it was like a sort of St. Christopher's Inn or something, wasn't it? It was like a hostel and a bar in the same sort of place. We were just drinking in there, and a friend of ours, who won't name, went to the toilet, came back. We just ordered drinks. We were just in there early on in the night, and he said, "We've got to go now." We went, "What?" He said. You've got to just drink, not even drink. We have to leave now. We're like, why? He goes, I can't tell you that. We've got to go. Oh my God, what the hell's happened? So we left. And he said he'd basically gone into the toilet. He had an upset stomach. Go to the toilet. He said it wasn't in a great way. It was a messy, the bathroom was quite messy. Like,
oh my God.
It wasn't good. He had to go though. So he said he sort of pulled his trousers down and he said he hovered rather than sitting there.
Yeah.
He said, I don't know what. He said, I don't know what happened. He said, it just exploded. He said it went up the walls.
Oh my God.
It was horrendous. We were going, it can't have been that bad to you personally, we won't name. He said, honestly, you know those massive toilet roll things, the really big ones on the wall? He goes, I used an entire one of those and I reckon I got 25% of it.
Holy shit.
And we thought it can't be out. So we left. We went around to some other things. Later on the night, about 11, 12 o'clock, we thought, we'll go back to that. It must have been about 11 o'clock. We'll go back to that bar because it stayed open late. We went in there. Ordered some drinks, it was fine. We were having a drink. Then the barman came over and said, I'm really sorry, lads, you're going to have to leave after this one. We went, all right. He said, yeah, someone's gone in and shut up the walls of the pub. We've got to close the pub for health and safety reasons.
Did you look to your friend at this point? Did you see his face?
I can't remember what we did.
Wow. I can't remember. That's incredible.
Yeah, he's tried to deny history now and say it wasn't that happened, but we remember. There was enough witnesses to remember to remember what happened. So nice toilet paper,
nice accessible toilet paper, you know, a toilet for the shitters and then a toilet for everybody else. Do you know what I mean? And same in the women's. So I'd ban the big jar of nuts, the antisocial toilet paper, and racists. Straightforward one, the last one.
Absolutely. Drink up, please. It's time. Ben, before we get onto naming the pub, if people have enjoyed this chat, I know we have, or I have, I think Dan has, how can they get more of your life? What have you got coming up?
It's
hard, isn't it? You just do everything.
Fuck knows. I don't know. I plug what? I don't know. I mean, most of the time I'm trying to make TV, I suppose, or movies, so there's nothing really to plug. They do that. The people are like, plug your new show. It's like, I think Channel 4 might have it covered.
It's just coming to talk about pubs and toilet roll.
Like
and
new show,
how about socials?
Disney are going to, they'll probably do that.
Yeah. What social medias do you use?
I only use Instagram. Mainly because it just felt like the one where I get bothered least. It's a bit like the stool at the door thing. I don't like confrontation. I don't want to be confronted with something the second I walk into a place, and it's the same with my phone. I don't want to open my phone and be confronted with shit. So like, I don't have notifications on my phone. I don't know when people have messaged me. The only notification I get is if my phone rings. So if someone really needs me, my phone will ring. And I think it's a good way to approach the whole social thing. But Instagram seems like the best of a bad bunch, I guess. So I'm on there. It's dotbreezy88. don't know why you'd go in there, but you can have a look. Nice. It's another thing I just don't really, cultivate that. One of the few times actually I probably look at it is that specific singular pint on the way home. Like all work is done. Don't really need to use my brain
on the way home. I
just have a little look. Oh, we go a little bit of scrolling, and then as soon as it becomes doom scrolling, you're like, fuck that.
Yeah, fair enough. Right, final thing for you to do, Ben, is name this wonderful pub. Oof. What are we going to call it?
This is a tough one. A lot of pubs are called Arms, aren't they? I quite like the magic arm rather than arms.
Because
like when I was a kid, I used to think I had a magic arm. I used to think my left arm was magic.
Why?
Because you won't be able to see it now because there's like tattoos covering it, but you actually might be able to see a bit of it. Can you see that dark line there?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It goes all the way around my skin and then the tattoo covers it there, but it goes all the way around dark. And it was much more pronounced and darker when I was younger. And then there's a little splodge there. So round circle. Oh, you can still see the splodge very delicately under the hair there.
Yeah.
Round, perfectly round circle. And then a line going all the way around the forearm, like a sort of Celtic tattoo or something.
Yeah. It's like you were the chosen one.
A strange birthmark. And I think, you know, getting into Star Wars and that in the 80s and 90s, I thought, maybe I'm magic. I thought, like, this arm. You know, I'm thinking like 5-6 years old here. And then when you're waiting for your parents to finish a pint, like,
yeah,
make this fountain go up and down, make these doors open, you know. As I got older, I learned the truth behind it, which was that for lack of a better sized uniform, my mum had squeezed me into a shirt to go to primary school in that was so tight on my fat little arms that over the course of the day it started to rub into my skin, and that line going all the way around is the cuff, and that round, it's perfectly round circle. There's the button digging into my skin as like a 5-year old.
It's horrendous.
And look how far up it's risen up my arm. So that would have been there in like 1982.
So that's how arms grow.
Yes, I thought that.
Oh, yeah, the magic arm. And then of course you've got your drinking arm, haven't you? And you lift up and down. There's one better one, but I can't remember what it is.
I like the magic arm. I like that.
I like the magic arm.
Excellent. Ben, thank you so much for joining us.
It's been a pleasure. Thanks for the Campari. What a lovely treat.
Lovely time. Nice. And Campari's elite, isn't it?
I'm going to have to drink some.
It's good, isn't it? Get yourself in the Negroni.
Yeah. Brilliant. Thank you so much for your time.
Cheers.
You may now return to the other realm.
Ta-da.
Deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.